Every Friday, we catch up with Upper Hunter MP Michael Johnson, who joins me in the studio this morning. Michael, how are you doing on this rainy Friday?
Well, I'm very well. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you for having me. And it is such a difference to last week. It's a bit cooler.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's a bit more moisture in the air.
Yes.
We need a little bit more rain. So hopefully over the next, I don't know, week, two, three, we might get another inch or two of rain. Let's hope
so. Exactly.
It just means you've got to mow the lawn, that's all.
Well, I don't have to mow any lawns, but you might.
You know, you get away. You've got life so easy. You
get away
with
a lot.
Yeah.
I've never mowed in my life.
Really?
Never.
Have you changed a tyre?
Well, I mean, I've been shown a couple of times. I've never been in the situation yet.
Okay. So if we put you onto a challenge to change a tyre, do you think you'd, one, accept, and two, actually get it done?
I think I might get it done.
We'll make it easy. We'll make it your car so it's only a small tyre.
How is my car a small tyre?
Well, I can take you to, a Land Cruiser or something like that if that's what you really want.
No. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe. It'll take me all day.
Let's do the challenge.
All right. Okay. We'll go change a tyre then.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. God, it's going to be a big week next week. Be out the front changing a tyre all week. This morning we are talking about a couple of things. New South Wales opposition leader Jodie McKay was in town earlier this week, went up to Scone to talk about the TAFE campus, which we spoke about last week. It is for sale. Of course, Labor and Jodie certainly not happy about it.
Well, in my experience, they're not happy about a lot.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it, that Labor's not happy about Nats and
yeah, look, you know, it's a normal part of the political games. And I've actually spoken to the Shadow Minister, Jihad Dib, who's a fantastic guy. You know, given him a bit of a rundown as to the truth of what's happening. And there's a number of falsehoods in what Jodie was talking about. And one of them is she mentioned that Scone has an unemployment rate of 18%. Well, actually, it's nothing like that. It's 3%. And I did send to them a link of the Parliament's Research and Library own report, which produces figures from, provides figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics and other areas where it's all recognised data. And even our youth unemployment in the Hunter region, whilst it's still at 10%, and it could always be lower and we've always got to do more, don't get me wrong, it's nothing like Jodie McKay would say, and which is pretty typical of what we've come to expect from Jodie McKay, the opposition leader. And, you know, I'll also note that there was not one local there, and everyone was either a Labor Party member and or a union organiser. This is an ideological campaign against what they perceive is privatisation. I've continued to say over many years that, you know, TAFE is a very, very important institution. Our people within TAFE are highly valued and very important. And so are the students. And delivering public education and this level of education through TAFE is critical. It will always be there. And, you know, we've always must remember that it's about the people, not the building per se. It's just a building. It's about the people and the delivery and the connection and how do we provide the best possible tools to the teachers and the administrators to be able to deliver that education to the students who are willing to learn. And that's what it's all about. And let's not forget that we actually have a new facility in Scone called the Connected Learning Centre. And disparagingly, it's only Labor and the union members that call it a shop front. Well, you know, that's an absolute slap in the face to the TAFE teachers and the TAFE staff who work so hard to deliver the courses and help educate the students that want to do various courses. That's nothing more than a slap in the face. And, you know, if we're not, as a government, moving with the times and providing the latest technology and the latest ability to be able to do things online, should people choose to do that and or face-to-face, because some things you just have to do face-to-face, like Farrieri, for example, and other courses that are delivered out of Scone, for example, some ag courses, agriculture courses, and some equine courses, which I might add will continue on regardless of what happens. They will definitely continue on. And there are no redundancies whatsoever. There is no job insecurity for any staff. There is no insecurity for any student courses or anything like that, because again, it's about the people, not the building.
Yeah.
And you know, it's about time Labor, you know, took the opportunity to just calm down, get off their ideological high horse, and remember that this is about, again, the people, and the students, the teachers, and the staff within TAFE. It's a very important institution, which is continuing to get more and more funding, I might add.
Well, we know you'll keep us posted on the sale and what's progressing there at the TAFE. Catching up with Upper Hunter MP Michael Johnson in the studio this morning. Also this week, of course, we had Australia Day on Tuesday. So many awesome people in the Upper Hunter recognised for their what they do in our community.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful opportunity to actually come and celebrate what it is to be Australian, and a key part of being an Australian of any creed or colour, born or moved here, is the participation in community. And volunteers play an important role in our community. They do so much. And, you know, there's over 6 million hours a year of volunteer work done in Australia. That's a lot of hours. We would never, as a society, we would, if we had to pay for that, we would never be able to afford it without, you know, significantly increasing our taxes, for example. So you know, it's not even about the money. It's more about the passion and the will of people to just simply want to go out there and be part of the community and do what they can to be able to help others and make life better for others.
And anyone at any age, I mean, the young citizens of the year, certainly for the Upper Hunter Shire and for Musselbrook, like 10 and 12 years old, doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, in my public life, which has been around for a little while now, and also before I either got onto the Upper Hunter Shire Council or into Parliament, and the various committees that I was on over many years, whether it be Pony Club, football, aged care, all sorts of areas, one of the things that's always annoyed me is this generalisation that our kids just, you know, they aren't the same as they used to be. They don't get involved in the community. They don't care enough. That is an absolute load of rot. I've seen countless instances where there are young people, as you say, 10, 12, 14, 15, 16 years of age, who are out there doing things for their community. And in fact, there was a over in Gloucester, the Young Citizen of the Year for Gloucester, a 16-year-old boy, recognised for a whole range of things that he's involved with, not least of which was a situation where he literally put himself in harm's way and saved an older gentleman and saved his life.
There you go.
So, you know, please, people, don't generalise about people's attitudes and put people into categories, young, old, whatever the case may be. Just think about who the person is and think about the actions and what you see, rather than have a closed view on what you think it may or may not be happening, because there's plenty of great people out there and there's plenty of fantastic young people up there and coming through, and I've got a lot of confidence and hope for the future of our leadership and participation in our communities for many, many decades to come.
Yeah. And lastly this morning, I do want to mention this, what we've been talking about this morning, that a legend in Scone, the Upper Hunter, in the whole horse training and breeding industry, Betty Shepherd, passed away earlier this week. Certainly going to be remembered for being just someone who was so determined to break into an industry and absolutely just did an amazing career.
Yeah, and such a beautiful person and a groundbreaker in the racing industry, and a groundbreaker for breaking through the glass ceiling in that particular context of being the first female registered racehorse trainer in Australia. And, you know, she had horses in the Melbourne Cup and Caulfield Cup and many other races. And she was highly, highly respected, a very, very capable horsewoman, clearly. And, you know, she's just such a lovely person. And yeah, I will be attending her funeral this morning. And and paying my respects to her family and Georgie, and my sympathies go to them and everyone in the racing and breeding industries. They all know who Betty Shepherd is, and I'm sure it'll be a big funeral with people who have either had a direct or indirect experience with Betty Shepherd as being somewhat of a pioneer for females within the racing and breeding industry, and she'll never be forgotten, and she's an absolute legend, and she always will be.
Exactly. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Anytime, Jess.